to me, baby.
So we're good? We're
talk
wired?
Talk triathlon to me. Talk triathlon.
Well, hello and welcome back to Tri Chatter. Ron Sattermo.
Sherry Renard. It's early in the morning.
Yes.
Can you tell I've kind of got my partying voice this morning?
You stayed up
too. We went to a triathlete's 50th birthday party last night. So, yeah, it was fun.
I thought maybe you went to the Tom Petty concert.
No, but I would have liked to. But we got home, by the time we got home, it was like 11. So that's late for us.
Yeah, that is late.
That's late. I think most people are in bed kind of earlier than that.
Yeah.
So anyway, here we are, the day before Ron is leaving for Kona. And I know. And he looks fit and ready to go. And he's going
to
have a great race.
Good than
he's
feel
gonna,
good.
That's right. He's going to have a great race. He's hydrating and he's been taking, a lot of salt?
Tons of salt. I'm trying to wash the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. You know,
how's your taper going?
It's a little rough to taper. You know?
Because
you're used to doing such huge volumes, you know, and then to dial it back, you know, right. Yesterday my bike ride was 2 hours, and I don't remember the last time I did a 2 hour bike ride.
You felt like kind of like a wimp by the time. Yeah, you're like, when's the ride gonna start?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So then what did you do? You rode for 2 hours yesterday.
And then just a short transition run, mm-hmm. You know, 10 minute transition run. Today mm-hmm. I'll run for about an hour, and leave tomorrow, and well, I'll swim tomorrow morning before I leave, but yeah, just cut way back.
Did you go home yesterday after your workout and take a nap?
I nap almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your theory on napping?
Can
you fall asleep instantly?
Almost instantly. Yeah. I mean, I wait until I get to the point where I'm really sleepy, so when I lay down I can fall asleep, but yeah, when I nap I'm usually down 15-20 minutes and that's it.
That's a short nap. They say that's the best. I think 20 to 30 minutes is supposed to be the optimal window for napping, because if you sleep more than that you sort of wake up feeling a little tired and kind of groggy.
Yeah, that's what happens to me, and then it disrupts my sleep that night too.
Right.
You know,
for me, 45 minutes is a really...
And can you sleep at night then if you've taken
that
long
enough? If I take a nap early enough. I don't get to do it a lot, but I try to at least a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm on a lot of volume. I think the Italians, or the Italians and all the Europeans have it right.
Yeah.
Siesta.
Yeah.
Siesta time.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so Ron is going to Kona. We know his predicted times. He's preparing himself, taking lots of salt, eating healthy food, and we wish him the best.
Thank
very,
you.
Very, very best of luck. Any thank final you. Words for...
No, just go to Ironman.com. My race number is 375.
It's IronmanLive.com, isn't it?
Just Ironman.com.
I thought it was Ironman Live.
I don't know.
Okay, you guys, you listeners, you check, you report back to us and tell us what it is. But anyway, what's your race number?
375.
Ron
and,
Sattermo.
Watch for our friend Art Sosa, S-O-S-A, but I don't know his race number. He's 40 to 44?
Yes, I believe so. Art, we had on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so...
Super fit. Talk about a lot of volume, boy.
Yeah.
He's
strong.
And Mark Song, he's racing in Kona.
Okay.
Mark Song and his son got in on the lottery, so Mark said, okay, I have to go qualify.
Yeah.
Mark has done it before, so they're doing it, father and son.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yay, go Kona. Kona Ron. Okay, so maybe we should wrap this little session up, and we'll start with our next subject, which is going to be transitions and race setups and crazy things we've seen at races. Should we do that?
Let's do that.
Okay. Over and out. Kona bound. Run.
I think you did turn it off that time.
Here we are. We're rambling again.
Okay. So do you want to talk specifically about transitions? Is that and just things to do and not do in
not
transition?
Not necessarily.
Let's talk about transitions. Okay. Let's do that.
It sounds like he's calling me out on transitions.
No, it just seems like you're kind of ready to talk about it.
Transition times? I'm always...
I'm right there with you, babe.
I'm always in and out of
the transitions, yeah.
Even if it's 2 seconds, I go, dude.
Yeah. The only time...
I nailed transition.
I did, I have to say that Ironman Arizona last year, I had my worst bike to run transition, or no, swim to bike transition.
What
was the worst? It was like 9 minutes or
well, the Ironman transitions usually are a lot longer.
Yeah, you don't feel quite as rushed. But, well, I had a really bad swim last year. I had my worst swim in any race ever.
And Ironman Arizona is in a lake?
It's in Tempe Town Lake. It's an artificial lake.
Okay.
Excuse me, but they the water was so cold that I just... You know, I was hyperventilating, and I vomited, and cramped up. It was, you know, the whole thing. But by the time I got to transition, it was, you know, I was just frozen.
Okay, no, wait. I got to stop you here. You were vomiting on the swim?
Yeah, yeah. My breakfast came up.
What happened?
My breakfast of cottage cheese.
Blueberries. You don't need to tell us what it is, Ron. Please. No.
Kind of a white oil
did
slick
you,
behind
oh,
me.
Oh, I feel so bad tablet. For anybody who's swimming with you. Nastiness. Why did that happen? Did you take in? Because you weren't in salt water.
Because it was cold.
It was so cold it made you
and
puke.
I got in. And, you know, we're talking about stories and stuff. I guess we wanted to talk about transitions, but we're already off the subject.
We're
now.
Always
Sorry.
Digressing. Yeah.
But so the water was bitter cold. It was lower 50s. And I got into the water... about 20 minutes before the start, which was a huge mistake.
Oh, way too soon.
Yeah, way too soon. And by the time the gun went off, I mean, I was shaking violently.
Oh,
it was so
gosh,
cold.
That's not good.
And hyperventilating. And as soon as the gun went off, you know, my upper body said, okay, let's go. My lower body locked up.
Ooh.
It was cramped all the way from the waist down, right down on my toes.
Oh.
It was just nasty. And, yeah, like I say, I mean, it was the worst swim that I'd ever had. My time wasn't that bad.
See, he can swim better. You can swim faster with your lower extremities locked up, puking, than I can swim on a good day.
But by the time I got to transition, I was just stiff as a board. You know?
Oh,
and I just, I guess I just needed, I didn't realize I was moving that slowly.
Right.
But, you know, the wetsuit strippers strip off the wetsuit, and I guess I kind of hobbled to transition.
Yeah.
And it was over 9 minute transition.
And you had to sit down and...
Yeah, I just really took my time. But like I say, it didn't feel like it was 9 minutes.
Was the air temperature cold, too? So were you freezing when you got on the bike?
I don't remember the air being that cold. I mean, I remember it being chilly, and I just remember being thankful for being out of the water. I don't remember the air being cold, but the water is just bitter cold.
So a 9 minute transition, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's not my normal transition.
Yeah, we have this one guy who's on the Y Tri Club, Brett, who's he's a pretty good athlete, but he has horrible transition times, just ridiculous. You know, he says, well, I want to, you know, I need to sit down and I need to clean off my feet and, you know, put on my baby powder and then my shoes and my socks and make sure I'm comfortable. And then I, and before the run, I need to put on my compression socks and this and that. Oh, plus here was the other thing he did. He would race without the top to his tri-suit. And then when he came out of the water, he'd take off his wetsuit and then put the triathlon top on. Like, what?
I know. Good,
what are good, you talking about?
A good friend of mine did the same thing.
And
in
have
Long
you
Beach.
Seen these people in transition?
Yeah.
Okay, being a woman, I know how difficult it is to put on anything when you're wet.
Yeah.
Sweaty, wet. We've all been there with sports bras. You see women in the locker room, and they are, like, tangled in their sports bra.
Oh, I know. That
and they can't... they're going nowhere. They got this... Anyway... I've seen them in transition, these guys, and there's another guy in our tri club. I won't name names, but he doesn't do it anymore. But I saw him at the Newport Beach Triathlon. He did the same thing.
Yeah.
Swam about the top because they don't want to have a wet top on. When they get on the bike.
It's going to be wet anyway. You're right, going to be sweating.
They just don't, they don't want to have a wet top.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. So you see them. He had a 4-minute transition at the Newport Beach Triathlon, which is like sprint. Yeah. It was bad. He was literally couldn't get the thing unrolled in the back.
He was
a mess.
Here's the thing, because I totally agree with that. If it's a wetsuit race, put your kit on underneath the wetsuit.
Not only your kit, put your race belt on, put as much as you can on. I always put, if it's a number, a race number that is, what's that stuff called?
The Tyvek.
Yeah. If it's a Tyvek number that's waterproof, I take the number and I roll it around my race belt and I put it on under my race suit.
Yeah.
So I never have to think about that number for the rest of the day. I don't have to think about it for the bike, the run, nothing. When I get out on the run, I just unroll a number. So there's a hint.
Yeah, anyway, I've never tried the rolling up the number on the race belt. I have put the race belt on underneath my wetsuit, but then I've ripped not all the way up, but I've ripped half of my number off.
That's
so you have to be careful with that.
That's why I roll it around the belt.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Very nice, neat.
Okay. Yeah. See? Learn something new.
I know. Even you.
But yeah, I put on my race belt usually after it. It depends on the races. USAT rules say you've got to have your race number on for the bike and the run.
Yes.
But a lot of non-USAT
races
don't care.
They don't care about it on the bike.
Yeah, you've got to put it on the run.
Right.
And if that's the case, then I'll put it on in transition from bike to run.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
You put it on in transition?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I could beat you in transition. I don't do that.
We're doing that contest.
That is a
We're going to do the transition contest.
If it's a regular paper number or whatever, and I haven't put it on ahead of time, I have it with my hat and my goose in transition so that when I come in, zoom, like a slick bolt of lightning, put the shoes on, grab the hat with everything in it, and I'm out of there.
Yeah, same thing.
Then I put the hat on when I get out there and put the race belt on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I do.
I know, but 1 second faster for me if you... Did you say you put it on in transition or you take it with you?
No, I grab it. Yeah.
You grab it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm in constant motion.
What about the people that you see? And, okay, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it. Everybody's got the new, I call them birdie helmets, the new racing helmets, Aero, which are great.
Yeah.
They really, of course, you won't be wearing one in Kona, I'm sure, because of the, you are?
Yeah.
Now, I thought that, here we are, changing the subject again, just for a second. I thought that with the heat, because I noticed that when I wear mine, they don't ventilate real well.
Not as well as the regular helmets.
So I would think that with the heat factor in Kona, you might reconsider that. You might not want to wear that.
No.
That hot helmet.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so that being said, it is the least expensive way to take time off your bike ride.
Yeah,
as I understand.
I've read that. I'm not sure, but I guess they've done, wind tunnel testing.
Yeah, and it's only really effective if you're in the aero position. You know, I mean, if somebody's riding up like a parachute, the aero helmet's not going to help.
Yeah.
Okay, so that being said, I was buying these aero helmets.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing these people in transition, and I'll say these guys, because it's always guys that I see doing this. And they come in with their aero helmet, they're running in their bike shoes, so they haven't figured out how to save the time of doing that. And then they sit down and put on shoes with laces, and they're sitting there tying their shoes with their aero helmet. And I'm just going, this just doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you go through all the effort to...
And the money.
To shave time off
right.
in one area, and you miss some of the real basic stuff on the other.
Some of the really basic things.
Well, yeah, and it depends on the race. You know, particularly sprint distance races, the transition times are just critical. I mean, it could be the difference between first place and fifth place.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, if you're just not with it, there's a huge
difference. Yeah, you're
going
down.
But the longer the race, the less important, that stuff really is. But there are just certain basic things. But, you mentioned the elastic laces, the yanks, and that type of thing. I had
a really bad experience with those.
What?
And maybe it's my running gait or something. I have no idea because I've never heard anybody else complain about it. But what they do for me is they keep getting tighter.
Oh.
The longer I run, it seems like the elastic just keeps getting tighter and tighter. And it's not,
that's
and your feet are going to swell to a certain extent.
Right.
These are literally getting tighter as I run.
That's the
strangest thing. So I've gotten away from those, and I go with the little, I don't know what you call it, the little locks, the lace locks.
Lace locks, that's what I use, is the lace locks.
But the yanks just don't work for me. It just keeps strangling my foot the longer I run. So you can
that's
just imagine the pain that you're in after, 6 miles.
Yeah, that's
dying.
Bad. That's definitely. Yeah, that's one of the things, and those are very inexpensive. I think they're, $5 or something like that for a set of the shoelaces. That's a must-have for all beginners. At least get those. And I just like having them on my shoes because it's one less thing to do when I'm going out the door for a run or, not to tie my shoes.
Yeah, yeah. So what else have you seen in transition?
I've seen lots of people head out on the run wearing their helmet. I like that. It's a great look.
And I have to actually admit to that because I remember one of the first times that I did Malibu. I had so many bad things happen. Not serious
it's
bad
because
things,
you were,
but goofy
you,
things happened at Malibu.
Yeah.
That happened to me there. I
that's
started
because
off
you
on
saw
the
all
run.
These celebrities and you weren't paying attention. You didn't have your race face on.
But thankfully, some guy in the transition area goes, "Dude, you got your helmet on." True story.
Yeah, I like that. It really is funny. Dan Barta, who's one of our teammates on American Interbank, I didn't actually see this happen, but apparently there is a picture out there of it. He was out, he went out on the run, and he forgot that he had his helmet on, and this was like some out and back or whatever, I don't know where it was, and so he couldn't, there was like nobody out there, so he couldn't, just throw it out on the course or whatever, and he didn't want to have to carry it because that kind of screws it. So he apparently did the whole run
with his helmet.
he could fall and hit his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't be too careful. What if you ran with an arrow helmet? No, I don't think that would work. Yeah, and I do see a lot of people. Oh, here's the other thing that kills me. People are putting bike gloves on in transition for a sprint.
I don't even do an Ironman with bike gloves on.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you don't need
you
the gloves.
You do not need to be wearing those gloves. Now, in the Ironman, I allowed the helpers to help me put my gloves on.
Yeah.
They're so wonderful in the Ironman races, aren't they? They just...
I never use my bike gloves just so I get used to,
riding
without.
Well, see, I get those. I get some numbness occasionally, so I have to be careful with that. But yeah, for a sprint distance, please leave the bike gloves at home. Olympic distance, leave the bike gloves at home.
Yeah.
Be a big girl. Be a big boy. Ride without your gloves. There's another thing that I can't think of what the other thing is that people do. Okay. Have you seen people on the run wearing camelbacks? Another teammate on American Interbank, who will remain unnamed. See, if I tell an embarrassing story,
Tell your own embarrassing story.
I don't name the names. But she did, I think it was her first triathlon that she did. It was a sprint. And she didn't know what she was doing, but she had her camelback on. She strapped, full 32-ounce
camelback. Well, she probably put it on for the bike, right? And just left it on?
No, I think she wore it for the bike and the run.
Yeah.
I think she ran with it.
Yeah.
The whole time. Because, you need that camelback. So, anyway, let me see if there are any other transition bloopers I can think of.
Well, what about rinsing your feet off? I mean,
do you
make any attempt to rinse your feet off in transition?
I've never rinsed my feet. I use...
And you wear socks?
If it's an Olympic or a sprint, no, I don't.
Okay.
And if it's a half Ironman, kind of depends.
Yeah.
Kind of depends. Like if it's Oceanside and I'm going to be running through the sand, I'm going to wear socks because I don't want to get sand. I usually, if I'm not wearing socks, I'll put some Body Glide or some Aquaphor on the inside of the The shoe.
Yeah.
Is that what you do?
No.
What do you put inside your shoe?
Nothing.
And you don't wear socks?
Well, it depends on the race.
Yeah.
For sprint and Olympic, no socks on the bike or the run.
Right.
Half and full Ironman, I do wear socks.
Yeah. Yeah, for the longer
yeah.
races.
Yeah. Because I've had experience. I usually lose toenails when I do the full. No.
Your feet look pretty good.
They've all grown back now, but
well, watch out.
After Kona, Saturday,
they're going black.
Maybe gone, but I've lost toenails just, and I think this is just, you know, from my own bike shoes.
Yeah.
The rubbing of my toenail against the inside of the shoe
right.
makes me lose my toenails. So
yeah.
I've learned that socks on the bike and the run. Work best for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, for the long races.
And that's what I'll do in Kona.
Yeah. For the sprints, forget about it.
Don't need it.
You don't need the and if you're worried about blistering, here's what you do. On your training runs, like I said, use the Body Glide or use Aquaphor or, put it inside the back, the heel of your shoe where your heel would rub up against it, and seriously, you won't get blisters.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me.
No
socks. The feet rinsing, really, you don't need to do that.
You see the big buckets and,
yeah.
and the towels.
Yeah,
and get a little pedicure while
you're
there.
Yeah, now a baby powder helps in your shoes too, though.
Yeah.
I put that in my bike shoes.
Yeah, I used to do that. I don't do it anymore. It just kind of cakes up in there, and I didn't notice that it really
helped. You use a towel or do you use a T-Mat Pro in transition? It used to be called a lickety-split transition mat, and now it's called a T-Mat Pro.
Either a bright yellow or a bright orange towel.
Something that you can see.
Yeah.
Do you rub your feet on the towel?
It depends. Yeah.
It depends.
When I'm coming, generally there's either pavement or blacktop, and when I hit that, I just stomp my feet a little bit to get whatever sand I can off.
Yeah.
And if I still feel like there's a lot on there, I'll do a quick rub, but that's the extent
about
of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me.
And
even if you get a little bit of sand or dirt that's in your shoe when you're on the bike, that's not really going to bother you.
It doesn't bother you.
And by the time you're going into T2 to change into your run shoes, it'll be gone.
It's usually gone.
Yeah. So suck it up, people. No socks. forget the cycling gloves. And for gosh's sake, put your racing top on before your wetsuit
Absolutely.
In the morning.
Yeah.
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 So we don't want to see you out there tangled up, looking like a wreck.
But I'm gonna try, I never thought of the race belt, rolling up the number. I may try that now.
Yeah, and then I just tuck it into my race shorts.
Yeah.
I tuck it down in there. And it's just fine. It's very happy.
Under your race shorts.
Under my race shorts.
Yeah.
Or I push it up under the top, whatever I feel like doing at the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, interesting.
Yeah, there's all sorts of ways people can not only be faster in transition, but not look like such a crazy person. Because you never know who might be watching. Sherry and Ron might be out there.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a show where we can film bloopers, triathlon bloopers.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that might be fun. Like what they call that, candid camera.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what about clipping the shoes in? Because I'm a big proponent of clipping the shoes in,
mm-hmm.
but I really do think it depends on the race.
I agree.
Because I did that Las Vegas triathlon a couple of weeks ago, and
was that the one where they didn't have the? Yeah, that was when you had the incident.
Yeah, I know, my first DQ ever. But right out of transition, it went up a hill.
Yeah,
it wasn't just a short hill. It went up this hill, around to the right, and kept going uphill.
Oh, yeah.
So you had a good half mile of climbing. And and I think the best way in that sort of scenario is to put the shoes on in transition and clip in.
Right.
Rather than pedal with your feet on top of the shoes.
Right.
So it really depends on the race. And I think the other thing it really depends on is where you're racked in relationship to the exit of the
if you're right by the bike exit,
put them on right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you've got a long way to run,
Yeah, don't do it. And the problem that I've got, and I don't know how many athletes suffer from Achilles problems, but I've had chronic Achilles problems for over the last 10 years. Running in my cycling shoes, you know, elevates my toe and stretches the Achilles out, and that can really mess you up.
Right.
So you be careful with that, but it really depends on the race, I think.
Yeah. And like you said, Vineman is like that too, where it starts. It's a shorter hill though, you know, but it does start out on the hill. I think I've seen a lot of people really waste time trying to get into those shoes though once they get going on the bike. Because, you know, the theory is, okay, if you're sitting down in transition, you're putting these shoes on, you're taking dead time. You're using time doing that. Wouldn't you rather be putting your feet into the shoes as you're rolling, even if it's only 10, 12, 14 miles an hour, whatever?
Right.
That seems to make more sense. But if people haven't practiced this a lot, it's going to take them a while. I mean, we've seen the people who are just can't get their feet in the shoes and they're falling over and all this crazy stuff is happening. So that's something I think people really need to practice all the time.
Yeah.
And when you go for a training ride, leave your shoes in the pedals all the time when you're training. That's what I do. So then I'm forced to, you know, get in that way whenever I go on my next ride.
Yeah.
If people are nervous about getting their feet into the shoes, at least leave the shoes on the bike at the end of when you're doing T2. You know, I mean, if you're nervous about learning how to do that, I always tell them practice the exit first, get comfortable with that.
Yeah, and it depends on the type of shoes you've got too. I mean, if you've got triathlon shoes where it's generally just one, what would you call it?
One strap. One big Velcro strap, and then usually there's a little strap that's on the back of the shoe, or there's a tab or something that makes it easier for
you to grab
grab the shoe to get your foot into.
But if you're in like cycling shoes and there's like three straps on each one, then that's a whole nother deal.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And that's why they make triathlon shoes. I mean, Louis Garneau makes great. I've had some, I don't know, were they Shimano shoes? They were good too. These Louis Garneaus were very reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
And the triathlon shoes have the little vents and drains in them too.
Yeah, lets the water
And moisture out when you're riding. And they even go as far, as you know, where when you open up the strap to have them ready on the bike, they've even got a little indentation in the strap.
Right.
That keeps it from going too far.
Coming all the way out.
Yeah, so that's something you need to practice a lot. What about rubber bands?
I used to do the rubber band thing, and I just find I don't need them anymore.
Well, what kind of pedals have you got? Have you got speed plays?
Looks.
You've got looks.
Yeah.
Well, see, the shoes are much more stable in the look pedals than they are on the speed plays.
That's why I went with the looks, yeah. Because I've had, and I loved my speed plays.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem that I had was leaving transition sometimes. I guess I just turned my foot and the shoe fell off. So I have to stop and get off and then get back on again. So I just, with the looks, I've never had that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking wood.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to say that I won't have that problem in the future. But I just had that happen to me numerous times with the speed plays. It's just frustrating. So that's the only reason why I'm in the looks.
Right. Yeah. That's never happened to me. Now that you said it, now I feel like I'm jinxed. You're gonna break my record of speedy fast transitions. It's when you mount the bike. I do a nice, kind, gentle mount, and I think I'm pretty fast at it. I run up and I put my left foot on the top of the shoe, and then, you know, swing my leg up around.
Yeah.
But my husband, Pete, likes to do, what do they call it? The flying squirrel, or that crazy thing where they're running. It's a guy thing.
I've never heard of flying squirrel, but yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Fly on.
You run and fly on. Okay, yeah. So what do you call it? A flying ROM. The leaping ROM. You know, I would love to be at a bike you know, at the bike start, and just seriously film the entire thing of everybody mounting their bikes.
All the different styles.
You know, because I'll bet it would be pretty darn funny. Okay, so you do the leaping run.
I do.
Okay, so
you're
running.
But I don't have the aero bottles when I race. I don't have my aero bottles in the back. Yeah, the rocket launchers.
Yeah.
I don't. If I had those, the flying leap is a little bit more
it's a little more difficult, and the dismount is more difficult as well. You
it
have
is.
To bring your foot over the front.
Yeah, over the
and,
top.
Yeah, I just don't have that kind of flexibility.
Yeah.
In fact, after Ironman Canada, you know, my legs, it was 90-some degrees, and my legs were starting to cramp on the bike.
Uh-uh.
And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do my normal, how I usually would, you know, leave the feet in the shoe, you know, the shoes on the bike, and do my dismount. I thought, no, I'm just going to stop and I'm just going to click out. And it's a good thing I did, because as soon as I stopped, I clicked out, went to lift up my leg, and my leg just completely cramped up, just stopped. There it is. Right there. It's just stuck in transition. I go, oh, crap, this isn't good.
Will help.
I got to go run a marathon. What is it that they say? In normal marathons, things start to get ugly at about mile 20.
Yeah.
But the marathon and the Ironman starts ugly.
Yeah.
I think it gets better as you go on.
I know. It can start ugly.
Yeah. It definitely can start ugly. Well, that being said, you've got a marathon coming up after the bike and the run in a week. So.
I know. It's so exciting. I just had a little meeting. When was it? Friday night with my Ironman mentor, Chris Johnson. Chris qualified for and did Kona 15 years in a row.
Oh, my man.
How old is he? 15 years in a row. He's an age group up for me, so he's 56, 60.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for 55, 60.
Mm-hmm.
55, 59. Yeah, just an amazing athlete. I mean, he just looks like an average guy, doesn't look, you know, he's not all ripped and buff and
mm-hmm.
everything like that, but I mean, he is an unbelievable cyclist, you know. I mean, he's a persistent swimmer, amazing cyclist.
Wait, he's a persistent swimmer?
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't, he's not fast, but
maybe that's how I need to start describing myself.
Well, you know what it
I
is?
To be persistent.
Yeah. I mean, he hangs in there.
Yeah.
You know? And I asked him, I said,
we must be fairly fast if he's gone to Kona 15 times.
Yeah, he's not, I don't remember what his swim times have been, but I think he's like a 110
so
swim guy.
Yeah.
But I was asking him, you know, about the swim start. And I said, you know, everybody's telling me to line up way left, you know, actually on the other side, the oncoming traffic side of the buoys, to stay out of traffic. And he said, no, man, what you want to do is you want to make that course as short as possible. And that's where the fastest and most aggressive swimmers are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you see when the swim starts, everybody's in a
mm-hmm.
line,
mm-hmm.
but then it kind of forms a point. And then you know, as you get closer
mm-hmm.
to the first turn buoy, he says, dude, you want to be caught up in that because you're going to be so much faster with the draft.
Oh,
yes,
man.
You're going to have 500 yards of, you know, just total
but it's
mayhem.
Worth it. It's worth the
but
chaos.
He's saying, you know, get right in there.
And you're a fast
guys.
Swimmer, Ron, so you can do that. And you are going to do that. And we're going to be watching on Iron Man Live and be like, yes! He's out of the swim. What's your goal time in the swim?
I don't know. It's a little hard to say. If I'm 102 or less, I'll be very happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 102 or less.
Yeah, yeah. So what else did your mentor say?
We talked a lot about staying hydrated and keeping the core temperature down. And one of the things that I'll do this race, because I'm not a big fan of the heat, and I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to be there 2 weeks before the race
right,
to really get
yeah.
acclimate
uh-huh.
to the heat, is start keeping the core temperature down early. So first, you know, every aid station on the bike,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking two bottles of water. I'm refilling the water in my aero bottle,
mm-hmm.
and the other bottle's going over my head.
Over your head.
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
So every transition, every aid station, two bottles.
Yeah.
One for inside, one for
do
outside.
Do they give the, do they have ice at the aid stations?
They do on the run.
I'll tell you, and when I did the half Ironman in Florida, which, you know, that humidity, the heat was hot, just, oh, yeah. My gosh. Every aid station on the run, I would just take off my hat and fill it up with ice and put it on my head. Yeah. And, oh, that really,
yeah, I did that.
That really cools you down. If you can do that in Hawaii,
yeah.
Put the ice in the hat.
Yeah, and I put it down my shirt.
Well, and women have an advantage here, let me tell you. Because we've got the sports bra situation going on. I've got cleavage. I've got some room to put some ice.
You can
some
put
ice.
A lot of ice down
yeah,
there. Yeah,
and I'll tell you, I do. So I do have that advantage. I ice those, ice myself up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The men don't.
I was going to say I ice those girls up, but no.
Yeah, the men don't mind it when you ice them up either. We
and I'll
it gives us something to look at while we're suffering on the run.
Yeah, are you excited to see me or have you got ice in your sports bra? Okay, on that note, we have got to wrap things up because we've got a whole lot of stuff to do to get Ron out the door and on the plane to Kona. And we have a big training day ahead of us for me. But it's been really fun talking about bloopers, transition bloopers. Yeah. Don't get your shirt all twisted up over that. And
lots of good tips.
Yeah, lots of good tips. You guys have learned some of our secrets today. So,
yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. So
best of luck to Ron. Tune in, Iron Man Live.
Thank you. Yeah, good luck to you. When is your marathon?
I've got New York City Marathon in 5 weeks. Five weeks from today. Yes, wow. So I'm going to go out and do an 18-mile run today. So that'll be fun. And if you have any questions, we would love to try to answer them or anything you want to talk about. You can always reach Ron at triathica.com. You can reach me at coachsbr.com. And throw some perplexing situations, questions, comments, anything out there, and we'd be happy to talk about it.
So, yeah, we've got our opinions. We may not be right, but we've got our opinions.
Yeah, we've got our opinions. So until then, talk triathlon. Try chatter to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Over and out.
Signing off.
See you later.